Chapter 14, The Map of Final Seconds. Ovek learned that a question could arrive without a mouth. This one arrived in paper. Vesa brought it at first light, folded inside a waterproof sleeve, and held away from her body as if the pages might sting. The old transit building had turned gray with mourning. Rain ran in narrow paths down the windows. Beyond the glass, the memorial fence clicked and loosened and clicked again, cloth strips pulling at their knots. Ovek had slept beneath the bench. They had meant to stay on top. Vesa had put a blanket there and said nothing about sleeping on floors. The bench had been fine while Ovek watched the dark through the window, but sleep moved their body before thought did. They woke with one cheek against cold stone and one hand hooked around the bench leg. The floor was real. That mattered. Above them, the old schedule board listed descent times with no ascent times. Ovek read the words every time they woke. Shift 1, shift 2, shift 3, down, down, down. The company had written the day like a throat and forgotten that people needed a way back out. Vesa crouched nearby, not close enough to trap them. "More messages," she said. Ovek pulled themselves from under the bench. Their knees ached from sleeping folded. Their ribs hurt in the old place. Since the orange shore, the hurt had changed. Before, it had been a closed hand around one small body. Now it had fingers in it. Tav's small grip. The wet-voiced worker's broken breath. The woman who had asked them to tell Marek the little one sang. Others, too. Scratches. Heat. Knuckles on stone. A mouth packed with dust, trying to say a name around blood. Ovek did not think the scar was stronger. Stronger meant one thing pulling harder. This was crowded. Like the sleep barracks when the vents failed and everyone turned their faces toward the same thin seam of air. Vesa opened the sleeve. The first page was full of translated Earth words. The letters were too regular, all standing in obedience. Someone had written across the top in thick black strokes before the translation marks. Final second. Under that, who else was there? Ovek touched the page with one finger. "This is from the doctor?" they asked. "Dr. Asha Menon," Vesa said. She checked another sheet. "And from the light-seeing woman, Monica Rambeau. And the sorcerer." "Wong." Vesa looked up.
Ovek had not meant to know that name. It had been in the water with the others, not as warm as Mara Vale, not heavy like Elias Crow. Wong's name had felt like a closed door with a person standing on both sides of it. "Yes," Vesa said, "Wong." Ovek wiped their hand on their shirt. The page felt damped, though it was dry. "They're asking for times," Vesa said. "Exact moments. Dusting. Collapse, vent closure, return, first symptom. They are asking for the original loss records and the unrevised shaft map." Ovek looked past the page to the memorial field. Families were already gathering at the outer barrier. They came in mourning without permission, because permission came too late in a day. Merrick stood near the east post with his cap in both hands. Beside him, two women tied red cloth to the fence and did not look toward the security road. "They ask wrong first," Ovek said. Vesa waited. That was one of her good skills. She could wait without making waiting into a room. "They ask when," Ovek said. "The dead ask who answered." Vesa's thumb moved over the emergency lights clipped to her belt. 3, then 3 again. "Dr. Menon says both questions may be the same question." Ovek did not like that.
If two questions became one question, adults wrote it down and said they had made progress. Ovek liked stones better. One stone, one answer. The smooth one for speaking. The black one for holding. The chipped one for release. If the stones touched, they still stayed stones.
The page trembled in Ovek's hand.
Vesa touched the floor twice with her knuckles, their local grounding signal. Here. Here. Ovik breathed until the transit building put itself back together. They are in bunches, Ovik said. Vesa took a marker from her belt. Say it again? Bunches. Ovik put the page on the floor because tables were too much like review rooms. They pressed the marker into their fist and drew a crooked circle around Mara Vale, Daniel Keane, and Ray Alvarez. These are one room. One event? One room, Ovik insisted. Vesa wrote the word in the margin. Ovik circled Naya Reyes and Tessa Kim. They tried to circle Asha Menon, but the marker slid away from her name. The room around Asha was bright and hard and full of more bodies than the paper admitted, but the strongest edge belonged to the falling thing and the injury she could not repair. Ovik drew a line beside her instead and made three small marks for others not yet written. Sar Ven's name pricked her finger through the page. Ovik drew a line around the blank space beside it. The people there were not close, like a crowd. They were arranged by law. Guard, witness, machine. The hand that would make the sentence into a body. Elias Crow's name made the marker heavier. Ovik did not circle him at first. What is wrong? Vesa asked.
He wants all the rooms to be one room. Vesa looked at the sheet. The counselor? Ovik had never seen his face. They saw hands instead. Open hands. Kind hands. Hands pulling threads together until the threads started cutting skin. He hears loud, Ovik said. He thinks loud means true. Vesa did not write that down. Ovik was grateful. They circled Elias Crow and Jonah Mills carefully, keeping the line small. The marker tip squeaked over the medical backing sheet. Then Ovik drew the largest circle around the blank floor. Vesa watched. Ovik wrote names until the circle filled. Tav, Marn of the West Vent, Joran, who tapped 4, Sevet, listed as equipment loss, Nye, called dependent 18, Halu, with the broken lamp, Kesh, renamed Keshru after death because the company needed a work number. The marker stopped. Ovek's throat closed around the next name. Leth. They wrote it badly. The L leaned too far. The old transit building lights flickered once and stayed on. Vesa's breath changed. Your elder sibling, she said. Ovik nodded. They waited for Leth's voice. The transit building gave only rain and metal strips and the little electrical hum behind the wall.
Ovik pressed one palm against L until the ink smudged. I don't hear them, they said. Vesa's face did something careful and painful. Maybe the name is Quiet. Ovik shook their head. They did not know if that was true. They did not know if Quiet meant peace, or missing, or farther away, or if Ovek's ears had become a broken gate that let strangers through and kept L outside. The page under their palm warmed. The warmth came from all the others. They were pressing close, wanting the circle to be seen. Kel-Roon arrived before the second rain. He brought 5 officers, a portable SEAL unit, and a woman from the Provisional Stabilization Office who had the hollow eyes of someone asked to make a bad document sound neutral. The company moon was still gone from Kel-Roon's coat. Its pale outline had darkened in the rain. Families moved toward the fence when they saw him. Officers moved to match them. The memorial field became a held breath. Vesa stood in the transit building doorway. She had placed the pages behind Ovik, under the bench, and told them with her eyes not to touch them while Kel-Roon could see. Ovik sat cross-legged on the floor anyway. If adults wanted a chair, they could bring a chair for themselves. This is no longer a medical sheltering question, Kel-Roon said.
Vesa did not move. Then leave the medical shelter. The woman from stabilization cleared her throat. The returned minor, known as Ovek, has been classified for interim protective custody pending review. Ovek heard the words, known as, and tasted metal. Known as meant a hand reaching for the name without asking the person. Vesa said, protective custody with whom? The woman looked at Kelrun. Kelrun said, a secured facility operated under Joint Stabilization and Corporate Remediation Authority. No, Vesa said. It was such a small word, it did not stop anyone from stepping inside. One officer entered first. Ovek knew him from the old site. He had been younger then and had looked away when guards hit children for sleeping past horn call. His name in the worksite had been Lorne. On his current badge, it was Officer L. Har, renamed. Still him. Ovek's ribs tightened. From outside came Marek's voice, raised for the first time since Ovek had known him. You cannot take the witness! Others answered him by naming. Tav, Marn, Sevet, Nye, Kesh. Kelrun's face remained practiced, but one hand flexed at his side. This is exactly the escalation we are trying to prevent, he said.
The woman from stabilization opened a file. There are credible concerns that the miner's condition may be exploited by religious groups, grievance factions, off-world agitators, and unauthorized media. You forgot the company, Vesa said. Kelrun looked past her to Ovek. No one is calling you property. Ovek stood. Their legs prickled from sitting, their chest hurt, their mouth filled with dust and four taps. Four means air. Four means hear. Four means answer. They put their knuckles to the floor and tapped once, twice, three times. Four. The memorial fence answered in metal. The families outside went silent. Kelrun's eyes flicked to the door. Ovek, he said, using softness like a tool. People have placed too much on you. They want proof. They want a vessel. They want a living memorial. We can remove you from that pressure. Ovek looked at the pale place on his coat where the moon had been. You want a quiet room. You need care. You want the dead to stop talking where families can hear. The officer named Lorne shifted his weight. The woman from stabilization looked at Kelrun again, this time less quickly. Vesa's wrist unit chimed. Once. Then three more devices chimed in the officer's belts, the seal unit, and Kelrun's coat.
Vesa checked hers first. Her eyebrows rose. That will be the off-world preservation order, she said. Kelrun's expression did not change enough for the room to notice. Ovek noticed. Children noticed small cracks, because small cracks were how air got in. The woman from stabilization read from her own device. Her face lost color along the jaw. Who has authority to issue this? Vesa scrolled. Several people, apparently. Kelrun took his device out. He read. Ovek watched his thumb stop at one line. Vesa said, Dr. Menon requests independent medical review and chain of custody preservation for original collapse records. Monica Rambeau requests non-extraction observer status and says the anomaly is not separable from the witness without harm. Wong says, she tilted her head. Wong says, do not move the child, move the records. The officer named Lorne made a sound that might have become a laugh if his face had permission. Vesa continued. Sar Ven states that any transfer under company authority will be treated as witness suppression across three provisional councils and two refugee compacts. Sar Ven has no standing here, Kelrun said. Merrick's voice came through the doorway. Neither did Tav. That one entered the room cleanly. Kelrun folded his device closed. This is temporary.
Many cages are temporary at first, Vesa said. Ovek did not like the sentence because it sounded like something an older person would put on a wall, but Vesa's hand was shaking when she said it, so Ovek let it stay. Kel-Rune looked at Ovek. "You are being made into a public category." Ovek did not answer quickly. "Proof. Vessel. Asset. Hazard. Evidence. Survivor. Religious matter. Known as. Misclaimed." The words moved around them like company moons, each one trying to shine without giving heat. Ovek picked up the page from under the bench before Vesa could stop them. They held it out where everyone could see the circles of names. "This is not a category," Ovek said. Kel-Rune's eyes went to the names. His mouth tightened at Leth, at Sevet listed as equipment loss, at Kesh, renamed Keshru after death. "Those are unverified. They are not yours to verify before their families can say them." Ovek had to stop. Too many voices pressed forward, pleased and angry and hungry for the door. They could feel how easy it would be to open their mouth and pour all of them into the room. Kel-Rune would fall under it. The officers would hear the tapping. The woman from stabilization would dream of dust until she wrote the right forms. For one breath, Ovek wanted that. Then their own hands started to disappear under the want. It was not dust. It was something worse. Their fingers still there, but also Tave's fingers. Marn's. Leith's teaching hand tapping stone. Ovek closed their mouth. They pressed the page to their chest. "I am Ovek," they said, because that was the next stone. "I can witness one name at a time." Outside, the families answered with no pattern, only breath and crying and the scrape of cloth through wire. Kel-Rune did not take them. Rescue would have felt different. This was a delay. Ovek had learned to respect delays. Sometimes one more breath was the whole work. The Earth screen opened after sunset. It took Vesa, 3 translation relays, Marek's illegal signal mast, and one old company routing dish that Lorne adjusted while pretending not to know how. Rain made the image stutter. The sound arrived half a word late. Still, faces appeared on the cracked display at the end of the transit building. Dr. Asha Menon stood closest on the Earth side. Ovek knew her from the hard white line around her name. In the screen, she looked smaller than the line, with dark hair pulled back and tired eyes that kept sorting the room even through a bad signal.
Monica Rambeau stood behind her left shoulder. Light on the screen broke around her face in faint colors the relay could not decide how to carry. Wong was seated, not standing. Ovek liked that. Standing people expected the room to arrange itself around their height. Maravale was there too, in uniform, arms folded. Daniel Keen sat near her, turning his ring. Nia Reyes appeared in a smaller window from another place, face lit by her phone. Elias Crow was not on the call. Ovek noticed. So did the water inside their ribs. Asha spoke first. "Ovek, my name is Asha. You can stop at any time." The translation gave her words in Ovek's language as, "You may close the door yourself." Ovek liked the translation better. "Vesa has your questions," they said. "Vesa has our first questions. We may have the wrong ones." That was a good doctor answer. Ovek brought the circled page close to the screen. Vesa held a lamp over it. The camera struggled with the ink. Asha leaned forward. "You grouped them." "Rooms," Ovek said. "Event rooms." Monica's attention sharpened. "Event rooms?" "Death rooms." The translation relay paused so long that Ovek thought it had broken. Wong said, "Accurate enough." Asha did not look away from the page. "Each circle is a lethal process already underway at the snap."
"It is the place where death had already put its hand," Ovek said. They did not know whether those were their words or one of the old rite phrases. Their mouth felt like theirs after, so they kept going. Sometimes one person came back, sometimes two, sometimes the others stayed dead. "They are still in the room." Nia's small window went very still. Mara's hands flexed once at her elbows. Dan stopped touching his ring. Asha said, That fits Reyes and Kim, Vale and Keen, Crow and Jonah Mills. Ovek in the extraction site dead. Do not make it fit too fast, Wong said. Asha nodded once. Agreed. Working rule. Monica came closer to the screen. The relay frayed her outline into bands of blue and gold. Ovek, when you look at the page, do the rooms pull toward one another? Ovek whipped down. The circles sat on the sheet like stones in a shallow bowl. Mara's room tugged through rain and red light. Nia's through tire water and glass. Sar's through dry air and a public sentence. Asha's through sterile dust. Elias is through a bullet still trying to finish its line. Ovek's through stone and tapping. The tugs did not point east. They did not point toward Earth or toward Sar's world or toward the memorial field. They pointed through.
Ovek turned the page sideways. The pull stayed where it was. They turned it upside down. The pull did not care. It is not a road, Ovek said. Monica nodded slowly. Negative pressure through the same kind of edge. Mara looked at her, in English. Their scars are not pointing across space. They are trying to close. Still not English, Mara said. They were all interrupted inside final seconds, Asha said. The pole may be the unresolved spate trying to reconcile itself. Still too clean, Wong said. Asha accepted that with a tight glance. Then less clean, their bodies are reading a cosmic wound as instruction. Ovek watched the faces. Adults liked when a thing had a sentence. The sentence did not help Ovek's rebs. The dead are being dragged too, they said. The room on Earth quieted. Ovek touched Tessa Kim, then Ray Alvarez, then Jonah Mills, then the names from the West Vent. They did not return, but the room remembers them with us. If we move, they move inside the hurt. Naya put one hand over her mouth. Mara looked away first, then back. That mattered more than staying still. Asha's voice changed into the voice that could hold blood without spilling it. Are you experiencing their memories as yours? Sometimes my mouth belongs to them. How often?
Ovek counted on their fingers. Counting made things small enough to touch. When someone asks wrong, when someone hides a name, when I sleep above the floor, when the fence cuts the cloth, when Kel Rune says incident. Vesa made a note on a pad. Ovek had not seen her start. Asha said, that is identity bleed. No, Ovek said quickly. Asha stopped. Ovek touched their own chest with all five fingers spread. That is the crowd at the door. If I open too big, I come back smaller. The translation gave the words plainly enough. Asha closed her eyes for 1 second. When she opened them, she looked less like a doctor with an answer and more like a doctor who had been given a better wound to describe. Understood. Monica's face softened with recognition from someone who knew absence could have edges. Wong spoke into the silence. Do not let anyone use you as a doorway. Ovek looked at him. Can they? Wong did not lie fast. Some will try. Elias Crow's name warmed under Ovek's hand. They pulled their fingers away. Later, after the screen closed and the relay dish went dark, Vesa took Ovek to the memorial fence. This broke 4 instructions, 2 temporary orders, and 1 medical recommendation.
Vesa said the medical recommendation was hers, so she could revise it. Merrick walked with them. Lorne, who had taken off his officer badge and put it in his pocket, walked 10 paces behind. Families parted when Ovek came through the mud, but not like before. Before they had reached. Tonight they made room. That was different. Room could be a kindness if it had a door. The hazard fence stood, patched and repatched, its mesh bent by years of hands. Cloth strips covered the eastern panel where the officials had cut them away each morning. Red for children.
gray for workers, blue for those whose names had been altered, white for those still disputed. Some families used colors wrong because grief did not always read instructions. Ovek stopped before the panel. Merrick gave them a small bundle. "These are new," he said. "Unofficial." The strips were cut from salvage cloth. Each held a name punched into thin foil and sewn with wire. Some were tidy. Some had letters crowded at the end where a family had tried to fit too much truth into official space. Ovik found Tav. They tied it to the fence with both hands. The name knocked once against the wire. Inside Ovik, the small grip on their sleeve loosened. Not gone. Less tight. Marek made the bow again, person to person. Ovek could answer that now. They bowed back.
Then they found Sivet, Marn, Nai, Kesh, Jorin, Halu. Each strip took time. The families watched Ovek's fingers instead of their face. That helped. A face could be turned into a shrine. Fingers were only fingers, working a knot in the rain. At the bottom of the bundle was Leth. No family had sewn it. The letters were in Vesa's hand. Ovek looked at her. Vesa looked at the fence. "I did not know if I should." Ovek held the strip. Leth's name lay light in their palm. Too light. Ovek wanted it to burn, speak, pull, accuse, laugh. Leth had laughed with the whole body. Leth had known how to steal lamp batteries and return them before anyone could prove the light had gone missing. Leth had taught four taps. Leth had made guards answer by asking questions that sounded too small to punish. The strip did nothing. Ovek tied it anyway. The wire cut their thumb. Blood came up dark in the rain. Ovek pressed the thumb to the strip, leaving a small mark beside the name. Behind the fence, beyond the memorial field, the sealed shaft mouth rose under its concrete cap. The company plaque called it the Marek Extraction Loss Event. Someone had scratched out loss and written killing. Someone else had scratched out killing and written find them. Rain had filled both wounds in the metal.
Ovek put both hands on the fence. They did not open their mouth. The dead came anyway. They did not come all at once. That was the miracle, if the word meant a thing done gently when it could have been done cruelly. Tav first. Not words, only the tune he had sung wrong in the dark. Marn with the West Vent map folded under his shirt. Sivet angry that the official list had turned her into equipment. Nai counting sleep numbers backward because the company liked numbers more than names. Jorin tapping four until his knuckles split. Kesh refusing the longer name they gave him after death. Halu thinking, with strange calm, that if the lamp went out, at least the children would not see the ceiling come down. Then the crowd pressed wider, and Ovek felt the other rooms again. Rain on windshield. Headlights in crosswalk water, a bullet in a room with colored paper, an executioner's breath before command, operating light through dust. All of them final seconds, but final did not mean finished. Finished required answer. Finished required witness. Finished required the hand to let go. Ovek's knees bent. Vesa caught their elbow without holding it. Ovek? The fence blurred. The orange horizon rose behind it.
Black water spread through the memorial mud without wetting anyone's feet. The salvage strips lifted, though the air was still still. Names turned their bright cut edges toward a sun that was not in the sky. This time, Ovek did not stand alone on the shore. The runes stood around them. Mara, with red light on wet glass. Dan, with one hand curled around a ring.
Nia with rain on her eyelashes and someone else's last fear in her throat. Tessa beside her, farther back, not reaching, not gone. Sar with an unfinished name like a blade held flat in both hands. Asha with a gloved hand empty of the tool that had not returned. Elias with too many doors open behind him. The dead stood too, not as bodies, not as ghosts Ovek could touch, but as pressure in the water. Ray Alvarez, Jonah Mills, Tav, the West Vent, others from other places and ships and roads and war rooms and stairs and fires, every one caught in the same kind of unfinished instant. The pull came. For the first time, it did not pretend to be east. It moved under every room at once, a tide that knew no map but understood where all the water wanted to fall. It ran through the final seconds, through the place where death's hand and orange light had crossed, through the wound left by a stone that no longer had a body.
Ovek heard Wong's voice from the closed screen, remembered instead of present. Do not let anyone use you as a doorway. Ovek closed their teeth. They did not open. They listened at the door. In the water, below all the names, one word turned over. It was not Ovek's language. It was not company script. It was not the old holding marks or the translation relay's obedient letters. Ovek knew it anyway. They pulled away from the fence and stumbled back. Vesa had paper ready, because Vesa was learning the rite. Marek held the lamp. Lauren stood in the rain with his badge still hidden in his pocket. Ovek took the marker. Their hand shook so hard, the first line tore the page. They wrote the word in human letters first, because the word wanted those letters. Vormir. Then, under it, in the old holding marks, they wrote the closest meaning their people had. The shore where cost is counted. Vesa read the first word aloud badly. Vormir? The memorial fence answered with metal. Marek looked at the sealed shaft. Is it a name? Ovek listened to the pole moving through the rooms, through the dead and the living, through every final second that had failed to close. No, they said. Their thumb bled onto the page beside the word.
It is where we are being called.